All right, we're looking at the Good Shepherd today. We're going to start in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 14 and 15 to get started. John chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so now I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We'll start off with a simple illustration from Maria Calais. The accounting department of a large insurance company was working on year-end reports when the computers went down. An emergency call was put into the systems analyst. Troubleshooting company-wide, the man didn't appear until 3 hours later. Yet even then, several clerks cheered, "He's here, our savior!" Without a word, the system analyst turned to leave. Panicked, the accounting manager cried, "Where are you going?" "I'm leaving," the analyst said with half a smile. "I remember what they did to the last savior." Be careful, right? When you think you're there to save the day, we know how this works. What do you guys know about the Good Shepherd? I can't remember. I think his name was Dwayne, but I had a friend in college, acquaintance in college. He was from South Alabama. And he would never really say the Lord. He would always say the good Lord. Well, the good Lord did this, and the good Lord did that. And the good Lord helped me today, and the good Lord's going to be with me, and the good Lord. And then he preached a sermon one time, and he said, some of you probably wonder why I always say the good Lord. Well, because the Lord is good. Amen? And today I was thinking about him as we think about this very message. Again, I want you to walk out of this place today being reminded that the Lord is good. He is faithful, he is merciful, and he has a plan for you. So let's look together in John chapter 10, and we'll be reminded of the Good Shepherd. A lot of scripture, so hang in there with me today. First thing we want to see is that Jesus is the gate. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And what I want you to see is we're going to have a couple other I am statements. Do you remember a few weeks ago, we had the woman caught in adultery, right? And Jesus, do you remember what he did to kind of rebuke her accusers? He sat down and he wrote in the sand, right? And so right after this story, there's a lot of conflict going on in the, especially with the rulers. And then we'll see right after that, Jesus begins to have conversations with people and they are asking, well, maybe you're demon possessed, maybe you're crazy. And finally, he begins to say whose children they were. Do you remember that? Jesus told them they were the children of Satan, of the devil. And they're like, well, you're not even 50 years old. How can you know anything? You're talking about Abraham did this and Abraham did that. And then Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. All right. So in the book of John, John, as he writes this, you're going to see at least seven I am statements. Today, we're going to see two more. One, Jesus is going to say, I am the gate. And then the other, he's going to say, I am the good shepherd. But what I want you not to miss is when Jesus is declaring, I am, not only is he saying, I'm a shepherd and I'm a gate, but he's saying, I am the I am. Are we tracking with that? He's declaring that he is divine to these people. Let's look at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because why? They know his voice. Highlight that in your mind. Think about that's very important today. Verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 7, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Again, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We should probably just stop there. Isn't verse 10 awesome? Why does the thief come? The thief comes to take, right? To steal, to kill, to destroy. That's what the devil desires. But why did Jesus come? That you may have life, and if you have your King James Bible today, it would be abundantly, right? That you may have it to the full. How many of you are really living? How many of you are living your best life now? Don't you love that phrase? I hate that phrase, by the way. Are you living your best? Can you live your best life at any stage of life? Right? Some of you may be sitting here today like, man, I wish I was David and Jacob's age because I would do so many things if I had their strength and energy and just that vigor. Oh, that would be awesome. I wish I was still like that because I got nothing right now. Right? Some of you may wish you were Rick and Vicky. They're retired, right? They're living the dream, right? Man, to be retired and to pick your day, decide what time to get up, where to go, what to do. I don't think they're still going to make every decision every day, but they got a lot of freedom, right? Living your best life. Here's why I challenge you today. If we will enter the gate through the Lord's the only way in and out of the gate. He says that he has come that we could have life and have it to the full. And sometimes we get stuck in a rut. We do the same old things. We run the same old schedule. And we forget the grace we've been given. Okay? Let the Lord speak to your heart today about what you need to do to come to him and to recognize that he has life for you. The shepherd enters the sheep pen by the gate. Now, I'm not a shepherd. I don't know how all this works exactly, but I can kind of get gates and who owns the property, right? The shepherd knows the combination, if you will. I don't think they had a combination lock on their pen, probably. But he knows how to go in and out. No problem. Knows how to work it. And it's his. It belongs to him, right? But what does the thief do? They look for the back door. They look for the part of the gate that's broken. They're trying to find a way in. That's not the normal way to get in because their desires are improper. They will enter however they can. But here's what I want you to catch all this morning. We saw it again there at the end of verse 4. The sheep know his voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Let me read this. This is so good. This is reported by Paul Harvey back in the day. I'd love it. Cattle rustling is a major problem in Uganda. The Ugandan army daily attempts to reunite cattle with their owners. The biggest difficulty lies in proving ownership. This article recounts how one elderly lady settled the issue. The BBC's Nathan Otungu witnessed the process beginning in a village north of Mbale. He told the BBC network, Africa, that when an elderly woman stood before the herd, a remarkable thing happened. She called her cows by name, and to the amusement of the soldiers, as each cow heard her voice, it lifted its head and then followed her. As far as the army was concerned, it was strong as proof of ownership as one could find. Amen? That's good, isn't it? She would call out, you know, to her cow, and then the cow would respond, I know that lady. That's my owner. I'm going where she's going, right? We should be that way with the Lord. When the Lord calls us, he calls us by name. Aren't you glad the Lord knows your name? He knows the number of hairs on your head, even if they're not that hard to count like this one. He knows your stature. He knows your hurts. Can I speak to you today, church? He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows your temptation. He knows what wears you out. He knows what builds you up. The Lord knows you inside and out. And he knows your name. And when he calls, we need to listen. And again, the Lord's just been really speaking to my heart. I think sometimes I want everybody to do the same things that I'm doing. You ever feel like that? Well, this is important to me. Why isn't this important to you? Don't you get it? We're going to set this up. You ought to be here because I'm setting it up and it's important to me. Oh, boy, I have to deal with that a lot. The Lord here reminds us today that he's got plans for each of us. And the path that he has, sometimes we're on the same place and sometimes we're not, but we should all be hearing his voice and that we'll follow as he leads. The sheep will follow the shepherd. Now, the other good thing is the sheep won't follow a stranger. Why is that? I don't know you, right? You ever had that problem with some of your pets? Come here, Ruffy. Come here. Chief was like that a lot of times. Chief would not come for anything. Stubborn dog. We should know the master's voice, but we also should know that there are some voices we never follow. And that's what we learn here. Jesus is, again, speaking to this truth that we should know his voice. And then he declares one of his many I am statements. He says, he is the gate. A lot of false prophets, a lot of antichrists, they've come and gone. But Jesus, hear me up today, very simply, is such a clear, simple truth. Jesus is the way out of sin, and he's the only way into reconciliation with God. He is the only gate. A lot of people want to be a part of the abundant life, but the only way to get into the abundant life is to go through the gate, and the only gate there is Jesus. You guys, I'm speaking as clear and as true as I can. I know you know it in your head. I'm trying to get it back into our heart. We have a lot of people in our circles, people that we work with, people that are our neighbors, people that are family and friends, and they think there's a lot of gates out there. There's a lot of ways to an abundant life. And Jesus says he's the only gate. Again, the thieves, the false teachers, the false prophets, they come for their own gain. They come for destruction. And it should be easy to recognize false teachers if you can simply find out their motives or their ultimate goals. And Jesus' purpose is completely opposite of the thieves. His purpose is not just to give life, but life abundantly. Madeleine Engel wrote it this way, and this is so good to me. Please look at this quote here from her. And this is what I desire for us today. Evangelism is not just what we tell people unless what we tell is totally consistent with who we are. It is who we are that is going to make the difference. If we do not truly enjoy our faith, nobody is going to catch the fire of enjoyment from us. If our lives are not totally centered on Christ, we will not be Christ bearers for others, no matter how pious our words. Have you ever tried to sell somebody something that you didn't really like? You know what I'm talking about, right? You're trying to teach somebody something and you don't really believe it. You don't own it, but you're like, well, that's what I need to do. Unfortunately, sometimes some people get paid to do that, right? This point is so good from her is that if we are going to share the gospel, we better be living the gospel. The best way that you can be a contagious Christian is to live and find that abundant life by going through the gate and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. There's the whole message right there. That's it. Okay. We've got to be where we really understand it. We love it. We live it. It's who we are. And I'm encouraging you today to pursue the Lord in that fashion. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is also the good shepherd. Look down at verse 11. Again, notice the I am statement. Jesus is Jehovah, as we said last week. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is saying, I am. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. All right, you guys are tracking with me really fine this morning. Not only is Jesus the door, not only is he the way into the fold, the way out of the wilderness, but he is the good shepherd. And what do we notice here about our good shepherd that makes him good? He lays down his life for the sheep. And he proved it, didn't he, right? Again, I'm just blown away every time I think about how a holy, perfect, complete king and creator of the ends of the earth would come and die on a cross for me and for my sin. That doesn't make sense to me. But that's what he did. And that reminds us, he demonstrates his love for us and that he gave up his life for us. And that's why he is good, the good shepherd. Now, C.S. Lewis wrote, Mere Christianity, it costs God nothing, so far as we know, to create nice things. He can make things just as he likes. But to convert rebellious wills or rebellious sinners, it costs him what? Crucifixion. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the hired hand, he doesn't own the sheep. They're not his sheep. He's not the good shepherd. And when the wolf comes, what's the hired hand do? See ya. I'm out of here. I'm not messing with the wolf. These sheep belong to somebody else. I'm not too worried about it. But the one who owns the sheep, we see Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. Again, the hired hand is not the good shepherd. He's just getting paid to do a job. That's what he's about. But the good shepherd, I would remind you today, he does his job because he loves the sheep. Now, can I speak here just for the second, a little side note here I wanted to remind us all about, and the preacher needs reminding about this. A pastor does not do his job because he needs cash. Why does he do his job? Anybody know? Because he is called. Now, don't get too many hints. You people from the board better close your ears for a moment. If the Lord has called me to this job, I'm going to do this job whether I get a penny or not. And he'll provide. The Lord has called me to this job to love his sheep. And I'm not always the best at that. But that's what I'm called to do. Believe it or not, I try to look out for you guys. I pray for you. I try to encourage you when I can. And once in a while, I haven't done to a lot of you, but I may call you out a little bit. Because my job is to try to care for his sheep. There are some leaders and some people in this world today that they see this and being a pastor as a job and not a calling. And they're there to make a paycheck, sometimes to have a place of influence, instead of really doing what the Lord is calling. And I need you guys, and I'm here giving you permission today, you got to keep the preacher in check. Because sometimes we can get into this role and this position and our motives get skewed. And the Lord reminds us, hey, I put you here to help watch over the sheep. And I hope today that we'll all be reminded that as we're pursuing leaders and pursuing people that would guide and direct, that we would find people who truly are caring for the Lord's sheep. All right, you need the good shepherd. Look down at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Again, the I am statement is so clear. I know my sheep and my sheep knows me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Who is Jesus? Anybody here have authority to take your life and to raise it up again? Hello? Who is the Lord? Who is the Good Shepherd? I might think I can take my life out when I want to. Some people think they can do that. But it's still in God's hands. How many people have tried to take their life and failed, right? But none of us here today would be bold enough to say, well, I can take it up again. The Lord Jesus, the gate and the good shepherd, he says, I have authority. I lay my life down. It's not taken from me. The Romans didn't take Jesus' life. The Jews didn't take Jesus' life. Jesus laid it down. And he says, I have the power to take it up again. Man, that's so good. The good shepherd here today, he knows his sheep. How many of you like to be known? Have you ever walked up to someone maybe that you admired that you thought they didn't know a thing about you and they called you by name? That's happened to me at work a time or two. There'll be somebody that I may have respect for and value, but the only thing they would have ever seen my name is an email and they wouldn't even know what my face looks like. And they might call me by my name, call me Travis, and all of a sudden I kind of like step back. How did they know my name, right? Again, and I'm trying to help you see this without going way over the top. The creator of the ends of the earth, he knows your name. How valued it is to be known, amen? Oh, I'm like, glad that you guys know me. You may be wondering if you are glad you know me or not. I love you, and I'm so thankful that I'm known by you. A lot of you could say quite a few things about me because you've been around me, right? You know that he can be loud. You know that he talks a lot. You know he likes sports and he likes music. You know things about me because you're present with me. It is a good feeling to be known. But I'm going to tell you today that none of you know me. Not even Wendy knows me like the Lord knows me. And he knows my name. He knows you. The good shepherd knows you. He knows what is best for the sheep. You won't make it through the gate on your own. You need the shepherd. And the sheep here again, he reminds us, they know his voice. If you will, they know his stride. They know his call. They know his kindness and his care. Again today, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, I just want to remind you that you're known. Jesus knows you, and he loves you, and he has not forgotten you, and he is with you. And Jesus says something else here that kind of may shock you for just a second. He says he's got other sheep, not of this pen. What's that mean? He's got other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. Well, who are those sheep? Is that a different planet somewhere? You ever think like that? All right, I'm going to give you what I think. You guys study it out and pray about it too. But I think what he's talking about here very simply is the Gentiles. The audience that he's talking about is a Jewish audience, and they are coming to him. But he's saying to these Pharisees and to this audience that I have sheep that are not part of this sheep pen. In other words, they're not Jews. I have some sheep that are going to answer my name, that they're going to come to me, and they're from a different pen, but they all have one shepherd, one flock. And again, I think Jesus already here is breaking down barriers among us. No slave or free, no male or female, no Jew or Gentile in Christ. In Christ, we are all the same. And so he declares this, and again, I want to say it again because it's so important. Jesus lays down his life. It is not taken from him. It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the Romans that took Jesus' life from him. He gave it, and he gave it freely. He gave it freely, without a cause. If you study your translations, you'll see that that word for freely, oftentimes it means basically without a cause. And in some places it says they hated Jesus freely. In other words, they hated him when they had no reason to hate him. But here we have this same idea. Jesus gave his life freely. When there was no reason for him to give it, he gave it for you and for me. Praise the Lord. He's a good shepherd. Excuse me. Again, not only does Jesus have authority to take his life, but he received authority from the Father to take it up again. Oh, by the way, the reason that we're here on a Sunday, that prophecy came true. Amen. He not only laid down his life for his sheep, but he rose from the dead for his sheep and for his Father's glory. And so today, not only do we have a good shepherd, we have the great shepherd. Amen. Hebrews, everything's a little better, right? Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, I love this. My pastor friend, Rob Morgan, he would pray this every Sunday night as he walked out of the room, and I've never forgot that. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that what? That great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You got that one highlighted? Whew, that's good too, isn't it, right? The great shepherd of the sheep. Well, let's close up today and see how people respond to the good shepherd, to the gate. Look down at verse 19, and the question is going to be, does a demon-possessed man open blinded eyes? The Jews who heard these words, again, they were divided. Verse 20, many of them said, he is demon-possessed. He's raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And I'm going to challenge you again today. You got a choice. You can either be for Jesus or against him. You can accept him or reject him. There is no middle. There is no in between. He's your savior or he's a crazy demon-possessed person. The question is, which one is he for you? And you must decide. All right, I'll close with this illustration from Jim Wilson today. Kelly Williams faced a hard question when he was launching a new church start, a new church plant in Colorado Springs, Colorado. During the initial stages, the attendance fluctuated, but it never exceeded more than a handful of people. One night, nobody showed up, and Kelly faced the fact that he may not be cut out for church planting, that he could fail. As he flirted with quitting, he opened his Bible to John 10, and he read Jesus' words about the good shepherd that says he lays down his life for the sheep. As he read, Kelly heard God's voice. "I know you're willing to be a success for me, but are you willing to be a failure for me? Are you willing to lay down your life for these sheep?" His open Bible opened up his heart. "Yes, Lord. Yes," Williams prayed. "I lay down my life for these sheep. If it is your will, this is the hill that I will die on, and I will fight to the bitter end." Those who are willing to be a success for God are legion. But those who are desperate for God and want him, even if it means being a failure, are the blessed few. Kelly went on to establish a flourishing church, but the point is he was willing to follow God's will for his life wherever it took him. Are you desperate for God? Not desperate for God's blessings, but are you desperate for him? Yeah. We all want that part of God. "I'll go with you, God, as long as you're going to prosper and make it great. I'm there," right? You guys remember Jesus, he's the gate. He's the good shepherd. And for many, most people would have saw his life as what? As a complete failure. He didn't release Israel from Roman control. He was even crucified by his own people. He was useless, worthless. He had so much potential, and he ended up to be nothing, just a dead man on a cross. And today, he's the savior of the world. I would tell you, be very careful when you try to judge success in your own mind. And what I'm telling you today is to open up your heart again to being used by the Lord. He's a good shepherd. He's got the best things for you. The Lord is calling, and he says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." The Lord gave everything for you, and he has your best interest at heart, but I'm asking you again today, will you heed his voice and follow him? Does everybody understand heed? That may be a word you don't hear much. You can hear something and not do it. Ask Kay Penn about that. She'll tell you that I've done that for many times. I heard my mom's command. She said this, but I still sat and played my video game or watched my basketball game or did what I wanted. I heard, but I didn't heed. What's to heed? It's to obey, right? That's the challenge today. The shepherd, he knows you. He knows your name, and he's calling you. Boy, I would love to know all the things he's calling you to do. He is. But he's asking you to heed his voice, to obey. Today, maybe some of you here, and I think that I know most of your heart, but I don't know for sure, but today may be the day that the Lord is calling you to be saved, to leave the wilderness of sin, to enter through the gate, which is Jesus, to find his pasture. I love this, to find rest. That's the best part of that sheep pen. The Lord is that gate. And today, if you don't know the Lord, if you're not ready to meet him, please come and call on him today. Today, Jesus may be calling you to follow him through the valley. And to me, the valley are scary places. Nobody wants to go through the scary places, do you, right? But the Lord says he would not leave you or forsake you, and he'll be with you as you go through the valley. Today, the shepherd may be calling you over the mountains. I guarantee that some of you today, you don't even have a clue yet, but God is calling you out of this place to some place that is so strange and so foreign, it's going to scare you to death. But the good shepherd says, "I will be with you. I know you. I will resource you, and I will empower you to do the things I've called you to do." I'm telling you guys, I'm looking at you, and you're like, "Oh, I know my routine, Travis. You don't know me. There's no way I'm getting out of this little path I'm in." And I'm telling you, I know how the Lord works. And when you open up that heart, some of you are going to end up in some of the craziest places doing some strange things for the Lord Jesus because he told you to do it. And then he's going to do wonderful things to magnify his name. And maybe he leads you over the mountain. The ultimate point is this today. Follow the good shepherd. He loves you. He will be there for you. And here's the thing. He doesn't lose his sheep. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Thank you guys so much for listening to the word of the Lord. Again, just pray, even as we're going to pray this morning, pray that you would hear his voice. You know his voice. You know what he speaks. Pray that you would heed it and you would obey. Let's just bow our heads for a moment here. We'll have a moment of quiet. Just come before the Lord, offer up again your heart to him, and pray that you would hear his voice and that you'd heed it. And then we'll sing in just a